Є на світі край багатий щедрими ланами, чисті води, ліси, гори, всього вдосталь є. Люди різні тут живуть, та щось є поміж нами, що тримає вкупі, розлучитись не дає. Гей, брате, руку давай, разом зі мною співай. Україна єдина, красива і сильна в мирі і любові до своєї землі. Україна – це ми. Є на світі край багатий світлими серцями, сильних рук, голів розумних не бракує нам. Ми робити вміємо і бути хазяями, з радістю і горем не лишатись сам на сам. Гей, брате, руку давай, разом зі мною співай. Україна єдина, красива і сильна в мирі і любові до своєї землі. Край багатий щирими піснями, гарні тут дівчата і хлопці молодці. Хай луна весела пісня селами, містами, хай живуть душа у душу і рука в руці. Гей, брате, руку давай, разом зі мною співай. До карпатських схилів, від солоних хвиль морських до витоків Дніпра, все, що є на цій землі, твоєму серцю миле, ти помножна силу любові і добра. Гей, брате, руку давай, разом із нами співай.
From Ukraine, that was the Madheads with a brand new tune. It's out there on YouTube, and that was the audio that I got off that video for you, and it was by the Madheads, and the song was called Ukraina Tseme, Ukraine, that's us. Добрий вечір і вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна Макварі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступного дня. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Павліна, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you. Sylvia Molnar will be along with another delicious recipe. As well, we have Stefan Andrusiak with a Rushnichok story. And two very interesting guests we'll be speaking with, Andrea Malish, who is with the Canadian First World War Recognition Foundation, and she'll be talking about some of the activities going on to mark the centenary of the start of World War One, as well the World War One internment operations in Canada, which saw tens of thousands of Ukrainians interned and declared enemy aliens. So stay tuned for that as well. We'll be speaking with Dr. Lada Roslitsky and She is from Ottawa. She is an international securities expert, and she joins us to talk a little bit about the mock referendum that took place in Ottawa last Sunday, as well as some insight into the situation in Crimea and Ukraine. So all of that coming up, as well our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is the Canadian Banduris Capella from Toronto, and a song with another nod to Shevchenko. This is his music put to music, or his words rather, put to music. And here is the Canadian Banduris Capella with Hrai Kobzaryu, play Kobzar.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's H-A-R-T.ca.
Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for the past 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing artists and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Holis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, contact the Shevchenko Foundation at 204-944-9128, toll-free 1-866-524-5314, or visit shevchenkofoundation.com.
А я живий, матусенько, живий, хоч вже по нас безчесно так стріляють, для них вже свій народ то ворог. Якщо ж загину, то за що я знаю? Для них вже свій народ то вороги. Якщо ж загину, то за що я знаю? Я знаю, мамо, як тобі болить. Ота моя нестримна вдача, але не плач, хай наші вороги від немочі своєї гірко плачуть, але не плач, хай наші вороги від немочі своєї гірко плачуть. А я живий, матусенько, живий, бо за нами правда, нас уже не здолати. От тільки жаль, що наші вороги цькують на нас, мого по крові брата. От тільки жаль, що наші вороги цькують на нас, мого по крові брата. А я живий, матусенько, живий, і не питай, чи я боюся. Нехай бояться наші вороги, а ти молись, я ж, матінко, борюся. Нехай бояться наші вороги, а ти молись, я ж, матінко, борюся. Нехай бояться наші вороги, а ти молись, я ж, матінко, борюся.
And Sophia Fadena with a very recent song and an original composition, A Ya Jive, I Am Alive. And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello! Ukrainians have a great variety of delectable pastries. From old Ukrainian cookbooks, it is interesting to note that recipes for torts, cookies, and various delicate pastries occupy the greatest number of pages, which in itself is a good indication of their importance. As a rule, Ukrainian pastries are rich in butter, egg yolks, and nuts. One of the most highly esteemed pastries in Ukrainian cuisine is strudel. It is a delicate creation of many paper-thin layers of dough with a filling between them. Strudel is as popular in Ukraine as pie is in Canada, and yet it is not an everyday dessert, for it cannot be whipped up in a jiffy. It takes time and patience to make strudel. However, I have found a good substitute, which I'll tell you about in a moment. Strudel dough is stretched to the thinness of onion skin paper. No one knows how strudel originated, and no country can justly claim its origin, although many try. According to a popular Ukrainian story about the origin of strudel, a cook of a Ukrainian aristocrat was about to make fruit vareniki, or dessert dumplings, for dinner when unexpectedly a guest of distinction arrived. This event caused a turmoil in the kitchen. The vareniki dough was rolled, but there wasn't enough. The cook quickly stretched the dough to allow for a few additional vareniki. To her disappointment, it stretched paper thin. How can one possibly make vareniki of paper thin dough and fruit vareniki at that? So she brushed the dough with butter, spread on the fruit filling, rolled, and hurriedly baked the roll in a hot oven. The dish was a sensation. The strudel was born. At least that's how the story goes. The process of making strudel is simplified by using the commercial product phyllo pastry, which you can find in most supermarkets in the freezer section. The original Ukrainian name for a simple type of strudel is vertuta, which means a roll. This traditional Ukrainian nut filling is easy and worth a try. Mix a cup of raisins with 2 cups of chopped walnuts, a grated tart apple, 1.5 cups of sugar, some cinnamon and lemon rind. You'll also need some fine breadcrumbs and 1/2 cup melted butter for brushing the phyllo sheets. A tip to remember is to thaw the frozen phyllo in the fridge, not at room temperature, as the leaves will stick together. So just follow the package directions is the best thing to do. Use 8 sheets of phyllo pastry, brushing each with melted butter and a sprinkling of breadcrumbs. Place the filling in a strip about 2 inches wide on the edge of the dough nearest you. Roll like a jelly roll, turning the edges in as you roll up. Place on a buttered tray. Brush the top with melted butter and bake at 350 degrees for about 25 minutes, or until golden brown. Try it. It's Ukrainian.
Join us again next week for Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar.
This is Stefan Andrusiak from Rushne Chok, and you're listening to Nash Holos with host Paulette McQuarrie. Дорогі слухачі від всіх наших членів оркестри Рушне Чок, великий привіт вам! Ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш голос».
Я називаюся Стефан Андрусяк. While at an airport baggage claim, a traveler stared in panic as his suitcase bumped down the conveyor belt and popped wide open. Подорожуючи на литовищі, бігав кругом каруселі, бо його чамайдан, валізка, розпалася. Усе позбирав, але не міг дігнати своєї зубної щіточки. He managed to stuff everything back into his luggage except for that little toothbrush, which continued going around and around, and that's when he heard another passenger say, "Boy, that guy travels light."
«Бачите, – сказала одна з подорожуючих, – він бере тільки то, що йому абсолютно потрібно в подорож».
At this time of Lent, as we ready for Easter, під час посту нашого, я читаю памфлетку отця Тома Коннері «Світло легкої подорожі». Father Thomas Connery tells this little story in his pamphlet called Traveling Light. І він пригадує нам, щоб ми всі олегшили свою подорож і дорогу. Ask those we've offended at this time for their forgiveness, and most of all, ask God, Father Connery writes. Милосердний Бог нам простить провини наші, він улегшить наш тягар, and we will all travel lighter as a result. At this time of worry, the words of a song called Nehrai, Nehrai evoke a search for enlightened and less burdened times, be it for a loved one, as in this case, or for an entire nation. This song is beautifully imparted by soprano Irena Velhash-Berg. She sings, "Sad sounds will tear this poor heart apart. This night, this song subdued and tender, secret dreams play and whisper as if in flight, reminding me of unbearable grief. Stop the music." From her new compact disc, Songs My Mother Taught Me, accompanied by Mark Payne, set down whatever load you are carrying and listen. Послухаймо разом пісню «Неграй, неграй». Don't play those sad songs. Більше інформації можете здобути про Ірину Вельгаш-Берг. For more about Irena and her music, go to bergarts.com. That's BAERGARTS.com.
'14 marks the 100th anniversary of the start of World War I, as well as the internment operations in Canada of Ukrainians and other East Europeans. The Canadian First World War Internment Fund has been set up to provide information about this still relatively unknown chapter in Canadian history. And they are hard at work doing very many projects to commemorate that sad event and to enlighten the Canadian public and perhaps beyond Canada about this tragic event and very dark chapter in Canadian history. Andrea Malish is with the Canadian First World War Internment Fund, and we spoke with her earlier this week on the Nanaimo edition of Nash Holos to find out what they are doing to commemorate this.
We'll be kicking off our centennial year with a commemorative stamp that will be unveiled in the Senate of Canada on March 31st.
Oh, wow.
So we're very excited about that. It's a Canada Post picture postage permanent stamp that will be recalling this tragic and little-known chapter in Canadian history.
And yes, it is still little known, and unfortunately it has almost eerie parallels to what's going on in the world right now, 100 years later.
There's a number of initiatives that the Endowment Council is moving forward with this year with regards to this centennial. And I just wanted to let your viewers know about the 100 Plaques Project being organized by the Ukrainian-Canadian Civil Liberties Foundation and with a grant by the Endowment Council of the Canadian First World War Internment Recognition Fund.
So what is this about, Andrea? Because we do have we have a monument here in Nanaimo.
Yes, and there are a number of ethnocultural communities that do not have a plaque. And so there will be 100 plaques unveiled on August 22nd of this year at 11 a.m., literally from coast to coast, not necessarily in all the communities where the internment camps happened, but where all the affected communities, I'm speaking the ethnocultural communities that were affected by the internment operations, you know, may have a church or a hall where they wish to commemorate this page in our history. So, you know, we're just ensuring that I understand UCLIF will be releasing the list of the 100 plaques coming out, locations coming out in April, and we want to ensure your viewers are aware of it.
Listeners.
And your listeners, sorry. Thank you. And to mark it on their calendar to attend one of these historic events.
So where can this timetable be found?
This table, once UCLIF releases it, it will be on the Ukrainian-Canadian Civil Liberties Foundation website. It will be on our website as well as our Facebook page. So go and like our Facebook page and you'll get all the up-to-date news on the Stowe project there.
Okay. Now, there is something else that that we were going to talk about today, and that is there is a job opening.
Well, there's positions on our council that will be that we're sourcing out through the ethnocultural communities. So maybe I'll explain how our council works. These are volunteer positions. We have six members on our council and an attorney descendant. Three of those positions are held by the Ukrainian community, one each from the Ukrainian-Canadian Civil Liberties Association, one from the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress, and one from the Shevchenko Foundation. The other three always have to be and include all the other affected ethnocultural communities. Right now, they are currently held by the Polish and Croatian and German communities. So we're looking we're outreaching to those communities that were affected. And there were many ethnocultural communities that were affected during World War I internment. And so we're sourcing out those communities to volunteer for these positions. And there are 2-year volunteer positions.
And what would they entail?
Being on the board, making the decisions for the work of the Endowment Council, and our main source of work, of course, is education and commemoration, is our centennial, and we're a granting body. So they'll be reviewing grant applications. We meet via teleconference every month and usually face-to-face once a year. And so it is a busy position, but in a very important position for those that are interested to be on. But I will also mention that the Ukrainian Canadian Congress has an internment committee. And there they are, I think part of their mandate is to work with their communities and branches and working towards also getting this education and this topic out there and applying to us for grants to further that work. And I would encourage all members across our community, across Canada, to volunteer because we need a really good cross-section of representation from all provinces. I mean, as we know, Paulette, a third of the camps were in British Columbia alone, mm-hmm. and we have yet to have a representative from BC on the UCC internment committee. So it's something that your listeners should know about.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So how can people get in touch with you, Andrea?
They can contact me on my toll-free number, 1-866-288-7931, or via email is always good. And my email address is Malysh, M-A-L-Y-S-H, at internmentcanada.ca.
And online, if they just were going to Google, if somebody's driving and can't write down all this information?
It is on our website at internmentcanada.ca.
Okay, easy to remember, internmentcanada.ca. So to take on one of these great volunteer positions on the internment board, as well as just to find out more information about the activities. And there certainly sounds like there's quite a bit going on right now to commemorate the First World War internment operations here in Canada. So thank you so much, Andrea, for joining us, and do stay in touch and keep us updated on what's going on.
Thank you very much, Paulette.
Okay, thank you. Andrea Malish with the Canadian First World War Internment Recognition Fund in Vernon.
You're listening to Nasholos Ukrainian Roots Radio on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver.
Ви слухаєте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» радіо українського коріння на багатомовній радіостанції CHMB AM1320 у місті Ванкувері.
Ой, Марічко, чечері, 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 розчеши ми кучері, 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 розчеши ми кучері, кучері, кучері. Я би тобі чесала, 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 коби мати не знала, не знала, не знала, коби мати не знала, не знала, не знала. Мати буде дивитися, буде ся дивити, я ся буду ганьбити, буду ся ганьбити, я ся буду ганьбити, буду ся ганьбити. Марічко, люблю тя, люблю тя.
Заріж мені когуття, когуття, когуття. Заріж мені когуття, когуття, когуття.
Ой, Марічко, чечері, чечері, чечері.
Розчеши ми кучері, кучері, кучері. Розчеши ми кучері, кучері, кучері.
And Anatoly Rudenko and the Folklore Ensemble Kiev with traditional Ukrainian folk song Marichka. Up next is Vasil Bokoch, and this is from a compilation CD of songs from the Sichovi Strelci and Povstansky era, and here he is now with a song called Yichal Strelets na Vinoinku. A sharpshooter went off to war.
Свою дівчиноньку прощальна качорна приметна, я йду чужу сторону. Дай же дівчина пустину, може я в бою загину, покриють очі темної ночі, легше в могилі спочину. Дала дівчина пустину, стрілець у бою загину, темної ночі покрили очі, вже від могилі спочину. Насилу взяли нещасну дівчину, а серед поля гнеться тополя, а на стрілецьку могилу.
Dr. Lada Ruzlitsky is with us on the line from Ottawa, and Dr. Ruzlitsky is an international security expert specializing in Crimea, and she's on the line with us now to talk about an interesting event that happened in Ottawa, and that was a fake referendum, essentially a mock referendum paralleling what happened in Crimea. And so welcome so much to our show, Dr. Ruzlitsky.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for inviting me to speak.
Now, before we go into that, what's like your view of what's happening in Crimea, tell us what did you guys do in Ottawa?
There's a group called Euromaidan Ottawa, and it's basically an organization of volunteers that understands how pivotal and important freedom is, particularly freedom in Ukraine and Crimea, against Imperial Russia. So we get together and plan events, demonstrations, like the mock referendum that we held on Sunday of last week.
Now, that was an interesting idea. What prompted it? How did that come about? And how did it go?
It came about, we wanted to do something different. Demonstrations and letter writing is all very important, but to mock this referendum in front of the Russian embassy was also to engage the people, to have the people come and vote and understand the type of situation and farcical referendum the people in Crimea were facing. Unfortunately, we only had two men dressed up as military officers, and of course they weren't armed. So it was a little bit of a theater show to really show to the press and to the Canadian public at large that this referendum is not fair, it's not free, it has no validity or legitimacy. And what we hear from the Russian Federation and Russian propaganda stations is just a bunch of lies.
Now, you would know because you are an international security expert. You just told me just before we came on the air. Tell us about your work as an international securities expert.
I have been studying the Black Sea region for about 10 years. And Russia's strategic policy of separatism in post-Soviet states. What we see happening in Kyiv and in Crimea isn't a one-off thing. It's actually a really long-term policy of the Kremlin to try to first and foremost reestablish power over the post-Soviet states, second, over the Black Sea region, and infiltrate further militarily and economically with the European Union. It's a very dangerous game.
Well, I was just going to say that Putin is well known as having said that the collapse of the Soviet Union was, in his mind, the world's worst tragedy. And people just kind of laughed it off. But this is no laughing matter.
No, it's what it is. It's an international crisis threatening not only Ukraine's sovereignty or the sovereignty of Moldova, Georgia, Azerbaijan, Armenia. It's an international conflict that is threatening nuclear arms promises, like the negotiations. Ukraine gave up one of the largest nuclear arsenals in the world because countries promised that it would be protected, and these countries are lying. They lied. It's also about the entire international legal system, where treaties, international law, obligations are blatantly violated without serious repercussions.
You said you saw this coming. You predicted that this would happen some time ago.
Yes. The reason I did this is I in my research, what I find very interesting is something called soft power. You have hard power, it's soft power. To put it very simply, soft power operations are psychological operations or psychological warfare. The manners in which, for instance, states or corporations make people think the way that they want them to think. So feeding them advertisements, programs, infiltrating schools, as the Russians have done. So I've analyzed the manner in which the Russian Federation used its Russian Black Sea Fleet from 1994 until now in order to change the dynamics inside of Crimea to prepare it for separatism that we're seeing today.
I saw this morning that there are already nuclear weapons that Russia is starting to move towards Crimea. Was that an accurate report?
I really wouldn't want to comment on that, but what I can comment on, and this brings it a little bit closer to home, the Russians mobilized on March 14th a 350-strong battalion into the Arctic. And they're calling it a military exercise involving 4,000 troops, 36 military transport aircraft, etc. So they're there, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to hear that they have nuclear weaponry in Crimea. No.
So you're saying that, just back that up a little bit, that on our, essentially, the northern Canadian border, Russia's mobilized?
Well, they're in the Arctic. Yeah, they're there. In the New Siberian Islands and other areas. It's the 98th Guard Airborne Division that dropped the paratroopers there.
Wow.
So that's, but it's just officially a military exercise, nothing to get excited about. I would like to make a comment about the nuclear arms and call attention to Moldova.
Absolutely.
Because Moldova has a place called Transnistria. It used to belong to Ukraine, actually, that part, but Stalin gave it to Moldova. And the Russian army never left there when the Soviet Union fell apart. They basically kept it and have been feeding separatist sentiment through it there. It's in much in a similar way that they use the Russian Black Sea Fleet in Crimea. Importantly, this Transnistria area is known as one of the main holes of transnational organized crime. They call it the Black Hole.
Black Hole?
A Black Hole of transnational organized crime, where weapons, mainly weapons, serious weapons, are sold through, and a lot of Slavic women
are being trafficked?
Yes, yeah. Through Transnistria, basically under the protection of Russian forces.
This puts a whole new spin on the idea of corporate control of the world economy.
Right. This is a wonderful point you're making. Thank you for making that. What do you think of that?
I think that the people that, for example, the Occupy movement has been protesting in Canada, I think these are like Putin's empire makes those people look like choir boys in comparison. I'm seeing complete anarchy in the world. There's no respect for sovereign borders anymore. And what is going to stop Putin next from taking over the oil industry and every other industry out there and running it like a mob?
Yeah.
I mean, am I being paranoid here? is that possible?
It's possible. I mean, from an international security perspective, most people think that security is just military security, but you have five sectors of security, so socio, political, environmental, economic, and military. So when you fight a war, you really want to target each of those sectors. So what we're seeing now is, at least on the economic level, the manner in which the Russian Federation has infiltrated the financial system to the extent that so much dirty money is in the system that the West doesn't really know how to deal with that problem. And, of course, we have the blatant military presence. And from a socio perspective, we see this division, a fake division being created by Putin, identifying Ukrainians or Ukrainian speakers as nationalists, fascists, while the Jews and the Tatars and the Ukrainians are currently being ethnically cleansed in Crimea. They're being deported. So this is the socio-political aspect, and environmentally, environment contains the natural resources. So the Kremlin is brilliant,
yeah.
Very, very brilliant. So paranoid, I don't know. I don't be afraid right now, but it's from a strategic perspective, it's a brilliant game that's being played.
I was reading this morning again very, very quickly, because these reports and emails and Facebook posts come in so quickly, and they're so detailed, it's hard to, you know, really get into depth. It's sometimes just all you can do is read the headlines and the sub-headlines. And somebody had pointed out that the sanctions that the West has been threatening against Putin Putin's turning it around, and now he's threatening, making nuclear threats. So what's going to happen is all of a sudden our stock market, the Western stock markets, are all going to fall, and the price of oil is going to spike, which will, you know, obviously our economy will crash, and oil prices will rise, and to benefit Russia, so that the $74 billion, whatever he's spent so far on the war, is a drop in the bucket.
Right. I think that Putin is really trying to puff himself out as bigger and better than he actually is. Let alone they do have brilliant minds in the Kremlin. Let's face it, the Russian Federation is really poor. they only have natural resources. There's no like innovative industry or anything like this in Russia. So the West has, the only thing that the West has to be afraid of is Putin, Putin's lies being believed. He came out, I believe it was today, and said that the West was the first to violate the Budapest Agreement. Did you hear about that?
No, no. Really?
Yeah. He came out and said that because they imposed sanctions against the Yanukovych regime, they were in clear violation of the Budapest Agreement, which prevents them from exerting undue economic pressure on Ukraine. So while you have this man invading the country with his military and employing what in effect are terrorists, the Russian military cooperating with terrorists, the West isn't living up to its agreement to protect Ukraine's national territorial integrity, and now is probably going to be afraid of Putin accusing them of being the first violators of the Budapest memorandum. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but he'll have the West scrambling to disprove that. And like you say, brilliant tactician. You know, it's important not to underestimate the enemy here.
No.
Wow.
And it's also very important not to overestimate the enemy. And it's a poor country, and it needs territorial power control. That's why it has this war, and the West really, together with Japan, I mean, it's not just West. All of the countries in the Security Council voted for. So it's time to cooperate with the Security Council and other countries beyond to put Russia back in its place. Fear is very, very, very harmful at this point.
And I think a lot of people are fearful, are quite frightened. And it seems to me that the Western leaders don't know what to do, do you think that they're wise in restraining themselves, as the Ukrainian leaders are? People are frustrated there that they're not fighting back. But if they fought back, it would be kind of like Ukrainian Alamo, wouldn't it?
The last few days I've been thinking a lot about Gandhi, and Gandhi was a wonderful man because India became India because of a pacifist approach. However, I don't really feel that a pacifist approach is something that is going to work in Ukraine. The so-called interim government, and I stress that part, the so-called, is really making some very serious and potentially harmful moves, for instance, by supporting the National Guard, rather than really putting pressure on other countries and saying, come on, help us, help our military, our trained military guys. They're taking young men, many of whom have never shot a gun, and they're training them. I mean, what type of training can they possibly get in 5 days?
Exactly, right.
And arming them and then sending them to fight and shoot against trained Russian military officers, this just doesn't seem right to me. I don't know. Does it seem right to you?
I don't know. I'm not a military strategist. The whole thing is very distressing. I guess, what can we do here in Canada about it?
First and foremost, stay informed, and objective information needs to be coming out, there's a fund actually set up to help the Ukrainian military men who are trapped in Crimea. There's a segment of them who have no access to water or food, who know, and their phones are dying. So support those people. Support Maidan. Don't let Maidan go away, because that's really the true voice of the people in Ukraine.
Well, thank you so much, Lada, for coming on and giving us your insight and sharing your expertise on the situation in Crimea and in general, just the crazy world that we live in. All the best to you. Thank you so much for your activism and again for coming on here on Nash Holos and sharing your thoughts with us. Thank you again so much.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you as well.
Stay well in Ottawa.
Okay. You stay well there.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Lada Roslitsky, international security expert in Ottawa.
Oh,
And another song from that wonderful compilation album of songs from the First World War and Second World War and post-Second World War era. And that song was by a quartet by the name of Kolo. And the song was Oitam Predoleni. Up next is Chetam Shena from Montreal with a bit of a lighter look on things, another traditional Ukrainian folk song, and this one is of kind of dubious legality. It is called Posiela Baba Konopel, Baba Planted Hemp.
Посвіяла баба, посвіяла баба, конопель, ой, ти конопель, конопель, бей-бей, конопель, бей-бей, конопель, бей-бей, конопель, ой, ти конопель, конопель, бей-бей, конопель, бей-бей, конопель, бей-бей, конопель, ой, ти конопель,
як туди повадився, як туди повадився, як туди повадився, журавель, ой, та журавель, журавель, бей-бей, журавель, бей-бей, журавель, бей-бей, журавель, ой, та журавель, журавель, бей-бей, журавель, бей-бей, журавель, бей-бей, журавель, ой, та журавель,
я ж тебе піймаю, я ж тебе піймаю, я ж тебе піймаю, журавля, ой, та журавля.
Журавля, бля, бля, журавля, бля, бля, журавля, бля, бля, журавля, ой, та журавля, журавля, бля, журавля, бля, журавля, бля, 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 журавля, ой, та журавля, я ж тебе в кліточку посадю, ой, та посадю,
посадю, дю-дю, посадю, дю-дю, посадю, дю-дю, посадю.
Here's what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community. On Wednesdays, catch Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to north and central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, northwest Washington State, and greater Vancouver. In our new two-hour time slot, 11:30 a.m. till 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time, Wednesdays on CHLY Radio Malaspina, 101.7 FM on the radio dial and streaming online at chly.ca. You can get the links to the podcast for both the Nanaimo and this Vancouver edition at www.nashholos.com. On Friday, there's a pierogi supper at St. Mary's Ukrainian Orthodox Center, 13512 108th Avenue in Surrey. Doors are open from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. For more information, call 604-531-1923 or 604-581-0313 or visit their website, www.uocstmarysurrey.com. On Sunday, March 30th, Toronto-based lawyer and author Andy Simichuk will be in Vancouver unveiling his latest book, A Promise Kept, A Tribute to a Mother's Love. And that will be taking place Sunday, March 30th at 2 p.m. at the Ukrainian Manor, 7007 Kerr Street in Burnaby. Following the reading, the author will be available to chat and autograph copies of the book. That's Sunday, March 30th at 2 p.m. at the Ukrainian Manor, 7007 Kerr Street in Burnaby. Contact TV airs on multicultural channel Omni 1 and on channel 8 on Shaw Cable Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. with a repeat broadcast the following Monday at noon. If you have announcements or story ideas you'd like aired on Contact, please email them at studio@contact.ca. That's studio@kontakt.ca. And at 5 p.m. Sunday evening, flip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver and join me for another hour of fun here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, you'll find upcoming events, program information, audio archives, podcast feeds, and much more at www.nashholos.com. Ну, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час до дому, би сказати, до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Той, що може навчити себе, то, що й щось залишитись і для тебе. And our proverb of the week translates as, he who can teach himself will still leave something for posterity. Well, that just about wraps up another program here on Nash Holos. So to take us to the end, we'll have the Prairie Crocus from Winnipeg, from their CD Back Up and Push, and the Off to Battle Kolomeka. I'm Pavlina. Thank you so much for joining me on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320. Thanks for listening, and Dobranich!